There's a reaffirmation of the Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his land. O Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will strengthen their heart. More trust and affirmation of the Lord. So there's a sense in which it's praise, trust and affirmation, supplication, repeat. Praise, trust and affirmation. And you can continue on and on with that same with that same method. It's a great model for us. How do you deal with injustice? Well, the first thing is to put your trust in God to deal with injustice and to endeavor to pray about it. Let's look to Isaiah 1:16. Is this all we need to do? Just trust the Lord and pray and then go on our merry way, so to speak? Well, Isaiah 1:16 gives us another model here. Isaiah is speaking to the nation of Judah, the southern part of Israel, and he is chastising them for being unjust and allowing injustice in their own midst. And here is his remedy. He says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." So it's just, in a sense, Isaiah says, here's how you should deal with injustice. Be holy yourselves. But then that's not only going to be, you not just take the injustice out of your own life, you're going to need to plead for the orphan, care for the person who is being unjustly treated. And Proverbs 24 makes this even clearer. Let's turn there real quickly. In Proverbs 24, verse 11, the writer says this, "Deliver those who are being taken away to death, and those who are staggering to slaughter, oh, hold them back. If you say, 'See, we did not know this,' does he not consider it who weighs the hearts? And does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work?" So the Lord sees injustice, but he also sees how we respond, and he takes it very seriously. That presents us with the problem, because all over the world today, there are people being carried off to slaughter. In fact, today, we know in the Sudan this is happening. We know this is happening even in our own midst, in the U.S., with abortion and embryo research. In fact, it's happening in South Korea with abandon. All over the world, hundreds of thousands of people being oppressed, tens of thousands being killed, perhaps even today. Wow, what can we do about that? And I think there's a real problem here for us with Proverbs 24. It says, hold the person back who's being taken off to slaughter. Do something to help them. And I look at that and go, okay, what about Darfur? Okay, I've got to do something. Let's see, what can I do? I'll call President Bush. Let's do something for these people. What about the people in India? Okay, I've got to help them. What about Cambodia? Okay, Indonesia, I've got to help them. And you can see this can make you go nuts, right? And there's a problem here with technology and Proverbs 24. Think about Bible times. How much did people know about injustice in Bible times? They knew about the injustice in their own lives and right around them in their own community. Injustice on the other side of the world? If they heard about it, it would have been like 3 years later in some legend. They didn't really, there was no sense of really even knowing the injustice that was going on. What about today? You can go home today. You can go to your computer and you can find out about every single injustice that's happening on around the whole inhabitable earth. All, whatever, 12 million, 50, however many million square miles of earth there are. You can find out about the injustice wherever it is. Is that overwhelming or what? And I think the fact that technology is so good at giving us information gives us the illusion that we can solve all of those problems as well. Well, you can know about it, so why can't you solve it? I'd like to encourage you that I don't think we were meant to know this much about injustice. I don't think we can handle trying to solve all of the problems. If you've ever tried to solve all the unjust problems in the world, you found out very quickly you were not very successful. And so I'd like to encourage you that I don't think God expects us to know about everything or even do something about everything. That doesn't mean he doesn't expect us to do something about something. So what does God expect us to do? I would encourage you to consider how you can respond to injustice today. I think there are really two extremes that we can take today. And it's the extremes from my story earlier today. You can take the extreme of, well, I'm just not going to worry about injustice. Who cares? Or you can take the extreme of basically going insane. And in fact, I know people in both camps. In fact, let me tell you about someone who's in this insane camp. In fact, I know someone who has been so honest about injustice and so serious about it that essentially, I had lunch with this person last week, and here's what she told me. She said, you know, all that injustice that you think happened with Hitler and with abortion and all of that, it never happened. In fact, me and my alien friends would not allow that to happen. This is essentially the idea. Now, has this person gone mentally crazy? Yes, because they took the injustice seriously and they had no recourse. They had no comfort because they didn't take God seriously at his word. He will take care of injustice. So that's one extreme. You can basically take all these injustices and go insane. I tend that direction. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you feel guilty for all these things. And you don't know how you can help, and you hurt for all these people, and you hear all these stories, and you don't know what you can do, but you're trying to do something. Maybe that's you. But there's another extreme, the extreme of, I just don't care about this. And in fact, I met a young woman at Hennessy's in Manhattan Beach. We were having lunch there. A friend of mine, it was his birthday, and so we were sitting and talking, and another of our friends was buying a wedding ring for his fiance, $7,000. And I was marveling at how ludicrous that sounded. Now, ladies, there may be good reasons to buy a $7,000 wedding ring. You can please come and educate me after the service. There may be good reasons for that. Now, I can see spending $7,000 on my wife, but for a ring that's going to be on her finger that she might lose and all of that, you have to buy insurance, you know. So we were talking about this, and so I turned to the waitress, and I said, what do you think about this? Isn't this odd that someone would spend $7,000 on a wedding ring? She said, well, my fiancé was going to spend $25,000 on my ring from Tiffany's in New York. But I decided not to marry him. I'm thinking, well, did you get the ring? Right? At least. I said, here's what I said to her. I said, well, doesn't this seem excessive when there are people starving and dying in other parts of the world? And she said, why should I care about them? And we went on and I asked her some questions, and that was her view. If it's not affecting my immediate world, they don't matter. Now, I'm not saying all of us, anybody in here is on that extreme. But somewhere in this spectrum, each of us can find our place. You're somewhere maybe on the side of caring too much or caring too little. I would like to encourage you today to come to where it seems the Bible has us, right in the middle of taking these injustices seriously, caring about them, being honest, but also not worrying so much about them. In fact, we can trust God to ultimately deal with injustice. If you want the point of my sermon in a soundbite this morning, it's on your handout there. We don't need to worry about injustice. We can trust God to bring justice to the oppressed. And that leaves us to be able to focus our energies on participating with him through prayer, making injustice known, and sacrificing for those being harmed. A second soundbite would be something like this. By God's power, stop injustice you can stop, especially within yourself. And trust God to stop the injustice you can't, especially halfway around the world. So what? What can you and I do today to respond to the passage from the Psalms and from Proverbs? What can we do to care about global injustice? Well, I'd like you first to just consider, where are you on the spectrum? Just think for a moment. Do I tend to just ignore injustices when they come up? Do I think people like Steve Wagner, who bring these things up in everyday conversation, are weird?